Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded December 30th, 2018. This week's sermon, Ready, Set, Grow, Unhindered, by David Chase.
How you guys doing today? They were already on a good start. There we go. Move that to the side, though, a little bit. How you guys doing? I already asked that. Off to a bad start now. We're at a particular time of the year, right? Pretty cool time of the year. How many of you have, I got a mixed results the last two services, so we'll see where we're at today, this service. Where are you guys at when it comes to New Year's resolutions? How many of you, have a New Year's resolution that you're going to have for this New Year? I got a boo crowd over here. Okay, anybody looking? I got some people, yeah, some New Year's resolutions, okay? It's 100% better than the first service on Saturday night. No, nobody was into New Year's resolutions that night, so, okay, touching on a little bit of a crowd. How many of you are on track to complete a New Year's resolution this year? Okay, there we go. I like that. I'd love to hear about some of those ones that you guys are completing. That's great. How many of you have some lofty goals this next year? You're like, okay, this next year, I have this New Year's resolution. Maybe for example, it might be, I'm not going to eat candy in 2019. And so for the next 3 days, you are eating as much candy as physically possible. You're going to make yourself sick on candy. Anybody? Okay. A couple of you in that boat. I'm sure this might be an offense that might get me asked not to come back here, so it's a little rough, but I'm going to share with you guys something important to me. I got gasps. The air got sucked out of the room the first night. New Year's is my favorite holiday. Yeah, it's true. New Year's is my favorite holiday. Tis the season of self-improvement, right? That's how it's known around. Is that how it's not known around your place? Tis the season of self-improvement. Wouldn't care when it was, but I love the time that there is a time of the year where pretty much in general, we take a look at where we are and we look at maybe making changes to be somebody else. So not somebody else entirely, but we make changes to be a better version of ourselves. We make changes to be a better person than who we were in the beginning. That we can say, okay, well, this is who I am right now. And this is who I was, so that's cool that I made some changes. Now, what changes could I make this next year to be able to make that more of a success? I would like to today be able to challenge all of us to take a look at today where we are at spiritually in our faith, spiritual matters, and where we would like to be when it comes to our faith and spiritual matters. We're starting this series, Ready, Set, Grow, where we're going to look at growing from where we were here and growing into something, growing in our faith, growing in our spiritual lives. Now, I know, though, that given the size of this room and the people that are here and even the time of the year it is, strange, you know, this time of year, you see church attendance go up across the nation, just across the board. People are like maybe more apt to like, stuff hasn't quite, as I look back over this last year, maybe 2018, some things haven't quite gone the way I want. So maybe I'll give spirituality a try. You know, I'll dip my toes in this pool of spiritualness this year and I'll see where that, how that happens and what works with that. And for those of you that are that way, I mean, you've come on in, you know, maybe this is your first time, maybe you've been here before, but you're kind of given another little shot, another little try. We'll see what some spiritualness, New Hope, maybe that helps. Maybe that doesn't. I'll try that. For those of you, I would like to share an analogy, that's not mine. I am not this smart. I wish I was. Because I think it's brilliant. If you're going to steal from the best, right? And the guy that did this analogy, he actually took it from Edwin Abbott in his book, Flatlands. So in Flatlands, and I'm going to use this. I know, what are we, in the 90s? Someday I'll get like a iPad or something to like, we'll get some technology to just put it right up there, right? I'm moving that because I'm trying to win this side of the auditorium. Does that help? moving that. Oh, I got some people over here. I probably need to move this one too. Uh-oh. Wow, way out there. There, am I winning you over? Winning you over by moving some stuff? There we go. Now I just need to do something special to win this side over. Okay, I'll be thinking about it. Okay. In this analogy, there in the book Flatlands, there is a two-dimensional world, okay? We are three-dimensional beings, right? We have three dimensions. In 2D world, there is height and there is width, right? Opening up to try to win this side of the room over, okay? Height, width, yay! Okay, so as a three-dimensional being, what can we learn from by looking at and you know, taking note of what's happens in a two-dimensional world? In a two-dimensional world, you might have circles and you might have rectangles. And a circle will never be a rectangle, and a rectangle will never be a circle, right? Right angles, no angles, they can never coexist. But add a dimension and you have a rectangle and you have a circle. Whoa, close-up magic. You didn't know you were going to get that today. Yeah, I know. Amazing. I'm here all week. No, maybe not. So, two-dimensional world, you know, you can see that there's some differences. So what can we learn by just observing this two-dimensional world? Let's pretend that there is Jack here. Can you see us in the back? No? Okay, good. It's probably better that way, actually. Okay, and we'll call that Jill. We'll give Jack some crazy hair, and we'll give Jill some curly hair. Woo, curls. There we go. Oh, that might be my best one yet. You're welcome. So we have Jack and we have Jill here. What can we, as a three-dimensional being, what if I decided to maybe mess with them or interact with them a little bit, and I took my wedding band, ooh, and I passed it through 2D world. Like, so there's two-dimensional world here, and I just passed my rings right through it. Well, first off, it would start off as a little point, like a flat point, because it's a little thick of a wedding ring, and then it would grow into a little bit of a bar, and then it would grow into 2 points, and those 2 points would go farther apart, and then back together, and then a bar, and then another dot, and boof, it's gone. So I passed my ring through that, and Jack and Jill, they might have different experiences with that, right? Jill might turn to Jack and say, whoa, did you see that? Do you see that, Jack? And Jack might go, yeah, I saw that. And Jill's like, oh, so what did you see? And I was like, well, I saw what you saw. I saw a dot, a bar, 2 dots. They grew farther apart, closer together, bar, dot, done. That's all I saw. That's what there was. That's what you saw too. And Jill's like, yeah, I saw that. But what if, and I know this is crazy, but I have this feeling, what if that was a ring? Jack's like, a ring? What's a ring? Well, it's like a circle, but like nothing in it. And it's, I don't know. And she's like, she's trying to explain it. And Jack's like, no. Dot, bar, 2 dots, farther apart, closer together, bar, dot, done. What if I messed with them more and I just like crammed my hand right through there, right? You know, just like, boom, I'm just really going to mess with you. Well, my fingers are different lengths. So at first that you'd get 1 dot, then another dot, then another dot, then another dot, then another dot, and then boom, just one big blob. So my hand and wrist just went right through there. And, you know, again, they have different experiences, right? As a three-dimensional being, you know, and two-dimensional beings, they have different experiences. Jack, he looks at Jill and he's like, oh, you're going to say something crazy again, aren't you? Well, no, I saw a dot, 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 and then big blob, and then I pulled it back out and it was gone, you know? And Jill's like, no, I think that was the hand of Dave. The hand of Dave. And Jack's like, no, you're crazy. Like, so why would you even say that? What hand of Dave? What even is that? And Jill's like, no, it makes total sense. You know, the dots, I don't know. I just really feel that. What if I didn't even touch anything here, but I just, you know, Jack's kind of easy to mess with. So I just took my hand and I just placed it right here. Just right over top of it. He can like feel the warmth of my hand, or, you know, it's maybe a cold hand, but a little bit of warmth there. And he's just like, ooh, get some goosebumps. And she gets goosebumps and she's like, whoa, did you feel that? Did you feel that? I think Dave is near. I think Dave's close by. And Jack's like, no, you're crazy. You know, you can't prove that. You can't show me that. You can't change any of that. Like, I know what I saw and I know it was there. And he's right that that's what he saw and that's what was there. But Jill is so right. But she's left having to try to explain it to him with, I have these feelings. I feel this way. It seems this way. In Genesis, creation story, very beginning of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, oh, we don't have to turn there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we have God, and there's 7 days. In the first 3 days, God creates these things, and in the next 3 days, God fills those things. And in the last day, the seventh day, he rests. And what you see in the creation story in Genesis is you see a spiritual being, 100% spiritual, God. Nothing else existed. It's just God. God is spiritual, and then the Holy Spirit and the Son are there as spiritual beings, and they exist there. And God speaks, and things are created and just appear. And it even says that the Spirit of the Lord hovered above the waters. So you have all these spiritual things, 100% spiritual, you know, God speaking and God and the Spirit and angels all being there. And then you see God start to create physical things, earth, dust, planets, stars, moon, light, birds, animals, trees, vegetation, all this stuff. God creates these 100% physical things. And then, not to get a big head about it, but he kind of culminates, right? He culminates with man. Or maybe, better yet, he culminates with woman, you know? No girl power, huh? Okay. Culminates with man. And man is this strange mixture, unlike anything else. You have all this physical stuff there, the animals and the trees and vegetation. You have the spiritual stuff there, God and the speaking and the Spirit. But then you have this mixture where they come together in man. Because God takes the dust of the earth, right? Takes this dust of the earth, forms it into this body, and then he breathes life into it. And you have something that's 100% physical and 100% spiritual. So maybe you're here and you're like, Dave, I already told you, I'm just giving this spirituality thing a try. I'm sorry, it's too late. You're a human. Too late. You missed the boat. You are not a human being having spiritual experiences through life. You are 100% spiritual. You are a spiritual being having human experiences. So here's my little case for that. I hate to bring this up because, I mean, I kind of have the power up here. I can bring up whatever I want to bring up, right? I don't have to bring up something if I don't want to, but I don't want to bring this up because it's going to make me feel old. Especially, this whole crowd right here might not even understand. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't even know who I'm talking about. But how many of you, this is embarrassing, how many of you know who Popeye the Sailor Man is? Oh, they all know. They all know. I know it's going to come a day and I'm going to mention that and nobody's going to know who that is, right? It's going to be like, but I know there are a lot of us that remember Popeye the Sailor Man, right? A lot of us. Popeye the Sailor Man, doot, doot. That's like the only time you're going to hear me sing, okay? There we go. Popeye had a catchphrase, right? Catchphrase. What was his catchphrase? Said it all the time. I am what I am. That was the quickest response. I am what I am, right? You know, kind of said it with his little accent, you know, I am what I am. And our generation, maybe the generation after me, they've really grabbed a hold of that catchphrase. I mean, maybe not even knowing it. It's not like they say that catchphrase, but they've embodied the spirit behind that. I am what I am. Accept me for who I am. I am what I am. That's who I am. I am what I am. And it's actually kind of a sad catchphrase. Popeye usually gave that catchphrase when he had some deficiency, when he fell short, when there was some challenge that he couldn't overtake, he would say, I am what I am. Sometimes on his most deficient days, his most days where he didn't measure up the most, he would say, and I heard it up here, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. But God takes a look at you, and he says, you are what you are, but that's not who I made you to be. You are what you are, but you don't have to stay there. You are what you are, but I have more for you. You are what you are, but let me help you be something more. So let's take a look at 2 Peter. Love the amens, by the way. That's fun. 2 Peter, I'm hearing some pages turn. Soon it will be a day and no more pages turning. It'll all be just phones, right? Yeah, but I'll take it while I get it. If you want a Bible, we'd love to get you a free hard copy Bible. On our wall out in the hallway, there are some boxes with, they have a free sticker on them. You know, take one of those. We'd love to get a hard copy Bible. If there's none there, find me. I'll get you a Bible. No worries. You can get one like this one. We have these somewhere. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll also have it up here on the screen. Let's read together. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Everything. He's given it to you. He's given you everything you need for living a godly life. Everything. That's not that word there in the Greek. It's not part of, and they translated it wrong. It's literally everything. He's given you everything you need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. So you've received everything that you needed for living a godly life by knowing him. Not just believing in him, but by knowing him. That takes work. That takes work to know him. The one who called us to himself. Okay, so we have received all of this by coming to know him. Him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Marvelous glory and excellence. Verse 4. And because of his glory and excellence, so because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Some English translations have translated that very great and precious promises. I love that. Very great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you. So these promises come to you for a reason. They enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. These promises were given to you for a reason so that you could share. God doesn't have to share. If you make an apple pie, you don't have to share stuff with what you create. You don't owe that apple pie anything. And you don't have to share that apple pie with me, even though I would love that. You don't have to share those things. You created it. God doesn't have to share his divine nature with you. But he does, and he promises that he will. He wants to share that with you. His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Some versions, English versions, have translated that evil desires or sinful desires. The corruption in the world caused by human desires, caused by evil desires, caused by sinful desires. I know that all of you, no matter where you're at, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that's great. I'm glad that we're all here in this room together today. No matter where you're at, we all know something's not right. This world's not perfect. This world could be better for at least one person on this planet. We all know that. I'm not having to win you over to my side on that. I get it. We're all on the same team there. This world could be better. There is something broken. There is something wrong. And here, God says, these promises, these are the promises that enable you to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, caused by evil desires. Verse 5. In view of all this, so because of all this that I've just said, make every effort to respond to God's promises. So God's given you these promises. He's given them to you for a reason, to share in his divine nature, escape the corruption. But you have a challenge. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Every effort. This isn't just a, hey, You are who you are. We're good here. Thank you for coming today. See you later. Bye. This isn't one of those deals. This isn't a, hey, you're good the way you are. Just go now. This is make every effort. Make every effort. Not because you have to for salvation, not because of that, but because you're responding to God's very great and precious promises. Okay, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. Add to your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. So add to your faith moral excellence. Because of God's great and precious promises, make every effort to add to your faith. Your faith's not the end goal. Belief in Jesus Christ is not the end goal. You need to make every effort to respond to his promises, to add to your faith moral excellence, and add to moral excellence knowledge. And add to knowledge with self-control, and to self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for some of the people, right? That's what your Bible says? Everyone? Oh, I should get that fixed. No, just kidding. Everyone! And love for everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done to you, love for everyone. Here's this list, and we're starting this series, Ready, Set, Grow. And this, we're starting this, and Carrie's, don't worry, you don't have to listen to me again for a while, you know, I don't know when, but Carrie's going to get on up here, and he has this series to be able to lead you through some very creative ways to help you add to your faith some of these things. I really hope and pray that you guys will come back to be able to hear some of these things. In fact, next week, he's going to be talking about adding to your faith knowledge, specifically knowledge through reading the scriptures. You maybe have seen it last week and this week. There's a little insert into the bulletin there with a couple apps. He has this vision. He would really love to see it. You know, it would be really cool. He would love for everybody here to read through the entire scriptures in 2019. Wouldn't that be cool? Man, that would be crazy. Everybody here, the whole Bible in 2019. Wow, that'd be nuts. So there's a couple apps that you could choose one of them, or you could take both of them be able to help you with that if you'd like that. And they've been, like I said, they've been in the bulletin last week and this week. He had needed some, you know, not to dig on Carrie too much, but he needed some help being able to download those and figure out how to work those. So he thought, you guys, there's some people in here that might need some help too. So we put together a team. Me and some other guys will be over by that black curtains over there. If anybody's by the black curtains, I'm giving you guys a fair warning. Fair warning. If anybody's over there by the black curtains, you have authority to ask them to help you download one of those apps, or maybe you just have questions. You're like, I can download an app. If you have questions on where the reading plans are at or how to go through one of those reading plans, me and some of the other guys and gals over there will help you do that, okay? Or just ask this group up here. okay. And we'd love to be able to help you with that. And so that's one of the creative ways that we're trying to take you through some of these and some of the things on this list. Okay, verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd love to feel that way. The more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Again, make every effort, right? This isn't just God's handing it to you. You have to work hard for this. Make every effort to add to your faith. God doesn't flip a switch and just make you that way. I mean, there's some crazy stuff that happens at baptism when we give our life to God and in the Holy Spirit's power that he helps us with. But God wants you to work at this. Work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 12, so because of all this that we've talked about, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. I get it, guys. I get some of you in this room, you've read these verses. You've read these verses maybe hundreds of times. Some of you have memorized them. I get it. This is a reminder. Peter was reminding the early Christians. This is a reminder that we need to work hard for this. We need to make every effort, that we don't have to be who we were, that we have the power. We have the power to make choices, to choose to be something better than we are. And God's not just going to leave you there and it's all on you. God wants to help with that, and God will help with that. God has helped me with that. He can help you with that. If he can help me, he can help you. Believe me. He wants to help you be somebody else, somebody better than what you were. Verse 13, and it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard. There it is again. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. Little side note. We're going to call this the side note bar of the stage. Should get some better lighting in the side. I'm like invisible over here. No lighting. Okay, that's great. You can't see me. I can see you though. In the side note bar over here, I have a little side note. Not part of this message, but just a little side note. It ends there. Remember these things after I am gone. Speaking to a specific people, parents, grandparents, what are you doing to pass this on so that your kids know they don't have to be this way, that they have power to make choices to be somebody else, to somebody that God wants them to be? What are you doing to teach them to add to their faith these things, to add to their faith to become people that have love and brotherly kindness and knowledge, and to where they'll continue to do that after you're gone? You know, my brother and sister are here and visiting with my nieces and nephews. What am I doing to make sure that they know after I'm gone, that they can continue to add to their faith these things, to supplement their faith with these things? Side note, leaving the side note bar. I'd like to talk to just the Christians. And so if you're not a Christian, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so glad that you're checking this out. My prayer, please come back, see some of the other creative elements that you can grow in your faith. You are a spiritual being. But I have a concern. I have a concern because of somebody that I knew at a church that I used to work at. We're going to call him Fred. Okay? Fred, there's really no better word, and this is a big word, really no better way to put this. Fred was a curmudgeon. Fred was surly. Fred was grumpy. Fred was a grouch. Fred was a Grinch that stole Christmas. Fred was so used to he saw problems in the world, like we all do, but rather than trying to make the world a better place, rather than let some of that affect his heart and break his heart for a person or a group of people, and rather than try to do something about that and make the world a better place for even at least one person, Fred didn't. And Fred got grouchy because of that. Fred, when you don't do that, when you don't try to make the world do something with something that breaks your heart and try to make the world a better place for at least one person, you become grouchy because you start blaming everybody. It's not your fault, it's the president's fault. It's not your fault, it's the mayor's fault. It's the pastor's fault. You know, he should have done better. It's the family minister's fault. You know, why didn't they raise my kids better? You know, it's the police's fault. You know, it's somebody else's fault. Blame, 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 complain, complain, complain. And we had to talk to Fred. because Fred would come to church every week. But Fred, he would go to the front doors and he would greet people as they came in with complaints, complaints, complaints. It might not even be about church, but he's just complaining to anybody he can complain to. And it might be about church. And we had to take Fred aside. I mean, I don't care who you are or where you're at. That's not the environment. There is no, unless if it's like Complainers Anonymous or something like that, there is no situation where you want that to be somebody's first experience anywhere. Meeting somebody who comes to the front door, greets you right away, and then starts complaining about everything that's wrong. When you spend your life just blame, 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 nothing's changing. Nothing's changing. So when it comes to Fred, we talked to him a couple times, but the thing was that Fred was a Christian. Fred came to church every week. Fred read his Bible regularly. And we didn't even expect, this is on us, we didn't even expect this of him. Fred didn't change. Fred, it wasn't like over the years, Fred got more and more joyous and excited and filled with more brotherly kindness and love, like what we read about here in 2 Peter. He didn't become those things. And when you're not, and this is again for the Christians here, when you're not growing, when you're coming to church and reading your Bible, you should be growing in greater and greater amounts of joy and greater amounts of wanting to change the world and make it a better place for one person because you have brotherly kindness and love, and that's growing in you. And when you don't have those things, and when as a Christian, your life isn't marked by those things, and people don't see that you love people a little bit differently, in a great way, then you start to create superficial ways to separate yourself as a Christian from those who aren't Christians. You create superficial ways to say, I'm in the in crowd, you're in the out crowd. For example, one of these boundaries we might create, I could be, David Chase, could be the greediest, most prideful person ever. Two big sins. I could have those sins in spades. I could stand up here and I could preach the next service there's not a service after this, so the next weekend. That could happen. But when we create boundaries, who's in, who's out, one of the boundaries might be, but if I started going outside and I was greeting people and shaking hands and saying goodbye to people, and I was smoking a cigarette, I might get fired. Maybe not. I don't want to test it. I'm not going to try to. Don't worry. I'm not going to create a test here. I might not get asked to come back. Why? Because smoking a cigarette's a sin and pride and greed aren't? No, none of us would say that. But because some of us create superficial ways to say who's in and who's out. My hope and my prayer for you in 2019 is that you accept that you are a 100% spiritual being, and that you will take that and that you will try to add to your faith and to be able to grow in that spiritualness that you are, and that you will be able to grow so that you can change the world and make the world a better place for even just one person. Imagine if all of us, 700 something of us in all of our services that are part of New Hope, made the world a better place for one person in 2019. That's 700 people's world who's a different world than it was in 2018. Wouldn't that be just amazing? And we can do that. And that's my goal. I want you guys to come back and see some of the creative ways to add to your faith. But it's not just so that you grow up into some person and some person that isn't growing in the love and joy of being saved and the love and joy of Jesus's, God's very great and precious promises. It's so that you can change the world and make it better for one person. Pray with me, please. Lord, Heavenly Father, I love you so much. We all love you. And I thank you. I thank you for this chance to be able to talk about this. I thank you that you don't leave us by ourselves, but that you want us, you come alongside us to help us, to add to our faith, that when we seek you, when we knock, we will find you. When we look for you, we will find you, and you are there helping us along the way. God, I thank you that you, I even thank you that you want us to play a part, that you've created us to play a part in making this world a better place, that you've given us free will, and so there's human and evil desires around in the world, but that you've also allowed us and want us to enter into your joy to be able to help fix those wrongs, to make things right. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.